Welcome back to the We Was Detectives podcast. I'm your host, Brandon.
I'm your other host, Chanel.
And we are back to record to talk about episode two of True Detective Night Country. It just says part two. This one, no, they don't have a name either. They need to get some names for these episodes.
They're just telling the story, baby.
But before we get into that, just want to remind everyone, because I've seen the numbers and you guys are coming back. I guess y'all like True Detective. Please interact with the show. I haven't put this on the show in a while, but you can send us an email at wewasdragonspod@gmail.com. We haven't changed the name. If you're new listeners, we started with House of the Dragon, so that's why it's We Was Dragons. So email us at wewasdragonspod@gmail.com. We'll read it on the show. If you like the show, please leave us a 5-star review. If we like that, we'll read it on the air as well. If not, then fuck you, and we won't read it on the air. But
We might.
don't leave it. Well, we
It's
might.
happened. Yeah, we've read a bad review before.
Has happened before, actually. That's true. So yeah, please leave us a 5-star review. It really helps the show. And do we can you leave reviews on Spotify? Yeah, you can leave a 5-star review on
Yep.
Spotify too. So
The
if you
only thing
listen
they
to
do
us
is
on
they
Spotify.
make you watch it a little bit. They don't let you just let it rock, which I appreciate that. Let me see if we have anything on here. When does Invincible come back? Do we have any insights?
Yeah, they announced it today. It comes back March 14th.
Nice. Okay, that's good. We have a lot going on in March. Okay, I think that we don't have any new ratings. We have a couple people who tried to eke out 1 and 2 star ratings. And to that I say, please choke. Like, please choke. Please do your best to choke next time. And yeah, I mean, sometimes the podcast can be better, but I really still don't appreciate the feedback. So we're here to talk about True Detective, but before we get into that, I wanted to talk with Brandon about this list that at I Am Nia Ray happened to post this past week about the Black-led TV shows that were canceled for the coming year. At the top of the list was Rap Shit on Max. And Rap Shit is a show that Brandon and I thought about. So we thought about recapping it, and then we wanted to do it in alignment with a new season, and we didn't do that. And now I feel like we need to do it because it just feels like wrong for them to have canceled this damn show, knowing that it's like we believe in East and we fuck with her, but not enough to like be faithful to shows that aren't Insecure, and I think that's something we got to work on. Then a show called Blind Spotting. Have you ever heard of that or seen that?
No, I've seen a movie.
Okay, not the blind, what is that called? The Blind Spot? That's not what that movie's called. The Blind Side. Oh,
No, there was a movie called Blind Spotting. It was a black movie. Daveed Diggs was in
oh,
it.
okay. Well, this might be the show because I don't know none of these people in it, but they look racially harmonized. Okay, Run the World, which I heard was a really good show that I never watched, and so that's on me. Might have to go run that back because that's probably like a black Sex in the City. I really need to go run that back. Swagger on Apple TV, which people told said was clearly very good, and also Truth Be Told, which was a great show. It was kind of stupid at some points, but it was a great show. Did you see either one of those?
No.
Okay, we need to go back and watch those because those are Apple TV shows, so the writing is great. We just happen to not watch them. Southside and Black Lady Sketch Show. I mean, Black Lady Sketch Show had a number of seasons, so that's great, but still definitely unfortunate because obviously I'm a black sketch comedian. Z-Way show got canceled months ago, and Z-Way, the funny thing about Z-Way is people still need her content. People still need somebody willing to interview. Like that George Santos interview she did when did numbers. And so I think she's just gonna have to need to start doing interviews on YouTube and just pocketing the money where she, because she has the name now. So anyway, I think that this is more about whether or not you have Showtime and whether or not you have goddamn stars than it is about these shows, because I didn't know about any of these shows. The Game rebooted on Paramount Plus.
That
Wishing you
had
the
no
best on
chance of
that.
being good.
Yeah, that was revived from the grave. So I think you already, whatever you get from that, I call that a bonus. Kindred, which is based, I think, on the Octavia Butler book. And so I should have watched that. That's on FX. I don't even know what channel FX is anymore. The 1 year reboot was all black, all dark skin. We should have watched that. I think the excuse I made is that I didn't need any feel good TV in my life, and that's not cool. So we need to, that's kind of sad that we let Dulé Hill down. And then finally, the show that I genuinely don't understand was Grand Crew on NBC. And, huh? Like, they just canceled shit.
Yeah, they
So.
canceled. I mean, I think it's a little lazy to just list a bunch of shows and be like, look, they canceled black shows. Because, I mean, if you did a list of shows that were canceled in the last 3 months, like towards the end of 2023 and beginning of now, I mean, the list is like, it's like 50 shows. Like, it's so many shows. I mean, because that's just what happens every all the time. So I'm not saying that some of it is not obviously right, because everything's racial in our company, but I think it's a little lazy just to list black shows and be like, look, they're canceling black shows. I think, because, like, for example, with Issa, right? Issa signed a 5-year, 8-figure deal with WarnerMedia in 2022. So she signed with them through 2026 for 8 figures. So I don't think rap shit is the only shit she's got coming down the pipe with HBO Warner. So I imagine they canceled that for whatever reason, because they canceled all. I mean, Warner Brothers made an entire Batgirl movie, an entire Batgirl movie, edited it, special effects, everything. And then it was just like, oh, we're not going to show it. And then just didn't show it after they did the whole movie, edited and everything. And so,
Do we know why?
it's to save them money, they claim. They could write it off. If they never dropped it, literally, they can write it off. They never released it.
They can. That actually is true. Now that I
And
know about business taxes.
and Warner is also potentially merging with Paramount. And
That's
so
gonna be rough.
whenever that happens, both of those companies are going to be canceling a bunch of shit, right? And so I'm not defending any of that. I'm saying some of it is just part of the business. And then some of it is low ratings, and then some of it's fucked up. It's a combination of those things to me that could be happening there.
I mean, I don't think the narrative is, I get what you're saying. Go
I
ahead.
think that I'll say this. I think the good thing about that list is, in the past, I think I said this in a previous episode about, like, black people getting a chance to make bad movies. Not saying that these shows are bad. What I'm saying is the idea that there could be a list of many
A
black
bunch of black
shows that
shows.
got canceled means there were a whole bunch of black shows that got greenlit, which gives me hope that these got canceled for whatever reason, and there's going to be some new black shows that got greenlit. And that there's a ton in the past, whenever there was a black show, all the black people I knew about it and they watched it, because there were so few of them. We were like, it's a
We had
black show, we got
Thursdays,
to watch it. But if there's 22 black shows, I mean, everybody's not going to
fair.
watch all 22 black shows, but that's a good thing. That means that these people are getting greenlit for shows, even if it's not a superstar heading the show, a name that they can drive to get people to come head the show, or the one black show on network television, that type of thing. So I try to look at the bright side of those things, because it can be really sad, particularly for the creators of those shows and things of that nature. But I just don't want I don't think it's a fair thing to just list. Because I saw what happened when this happened, and people were just like, and then people start, and of course on Twitter it goes from, oh, black people don't support black shows, which is not true. And then it's like, oh, we need to support black shows. And then it goes all the way into the terrible stuff of, like, you're putting black LGBT people on TV. That's why nobody's watching these shows. And it always goes into these terrible places, because when you just say something like that, people make all types of inferences when they're not aware of things, and they bring in their own biases and beliefs, and it can be problematic at times.
I mean, I think to be fair, the list didn't have any particular motivation behind it. Like she just posted, and I think it is good to be clear about like, hey, these are shows that women made. These are shows about Indigenous people. Like these are the shows we're asking for, and we're letting them go. So I think that however it hits you, is like where it hits you, right? So if it hits you with, like, for me, damn, I didn't support these shows, knowing I should have been watching more Black shows and not making time for that media because that is something I care about, that's on me. If it hits you as like you just want to be homophobic and you've been wanting to be homophobic for every day you wake up, then you go and zoom in to find a person who might look queer on the show, and that's, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
There
there,
was a
that's
lot
kind
of
of
that with
like,
that on retweeting that list. It was people
yeah,
were
but
going through
there's
that
like,
list and saying, oh, that's because they're doing this to our black people type of a thing.
right, and nothing in it, none of these shows are explicitly LGBTQ and black, so that's weird. But I do want to say, speaking of that Kid Fury was a writer and maybe like an EP, I don't know. Kid Fury had a lot to do with rap shit, and that's why I don't know why I haven't watched it. I think I just, I mean, a
You
part
ever
of it is
watched any of
marketing.
it? Oh, I watched some of it because my wife was watching it.
But part of it is marketing too, right? Like, what is on my the on my if I open up my that TV and go to that Prime open page, it's suggesting murder mysteries to me, and that's kind of my downfall because that's the kind of shit I'd be watching and be like, oh, you don't want to watch Around the World, you want to watch Agatha Christie. So that's
But
kind
that
of the
might be what
problem.
you're into.
It
You
is what
shouldn't
I'm
beat
into. I
yourself
know.
up for that.
No, I mean, I would love some black murder mystery. So a black Miss Marple. I actually think there's a sketch I wrote about that that I
Oh,
never
Marvelous
finished.
Miss
There's a black
Marvel.
one.
Marple.
No,
What is it called? Marvel.
Miss Mar. No, that's Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She's a
Maisel.
Jewish woman who goes to commit. Miss Marple is this old British lady who solves mysteries that I think Agatha Christie wrote. And I have a
Oh.
sketch of a black Miss Marple who's just nosy. Anyway,
So like what's the guy's name?
like Poirot.
Perot, yeah. So like a
Yeah,
black
like a Poirot.
Perot. That would
But
be fucking cool.
she's like a old, like, nosy woman who everybody underestimates, and then she ends up coming. Yeah. So I mean, all that to say, like, I do think you make great points. And the only other thing I would say is, like, in this greater landscape, it is interesting the fact that people have so much misinformation. But I also think that you could be in a thread screaming out, hey guys, this is the reason behind it. This is the percentage of shows. This is why it's important to support Black media. And people would still come in with their agendas and their narratives. And I think, like, the most important thing we can do right now is, like, one, know how to read a goddamn book. And two, is have some type of digital media literacy to where, like, when you read things, you take a breath first before you process what they mean. I think that's literally all.
Yeah,
That's kind of the takeaway I get from what you're
there was
saying.
a show, and everybody has. There was a show, like you can't see it in my office because it's to the right of me. But I have this comic book frame called Naomi. It's a DC comic book, and it's
The
this,
black
it's
woman.
this, yeah, it's this black girl. Well, she's a girl, she's like a teenager. And it's this
No.
black girl, like, lives in this town, and then like Superman fights in this town. She's like a huge, it's like a town where like they don't believe that superheroes are real, and then like Superman actually shows up in the town. And fight, and she had always believed it, right? And then she ends up like finding out she gets powers, and she has like dressed like natural hair, like just black girl. And it was super popular comic book, like incredibly popular comic book at the time. But it came out like 4 years ago. Like she's a relative, like a relatively new character. And within that time, they rushed and made a TV show on the CW, a Naomi TV show. But at the time, there was only like 8 issues of the comic book out. Like there's like hasn't been really any depth to the story. And so it gets on TV, and of course, you know, they didn't know what to do with it, and it got canceled after 1 year. It wasn't very good. It didn't have a lot of IP. Like a lot of the good thing about comic book characters is there's like generally decades of IP to work with, right? There's like decades of stories that you can pull from and adjust them, turn it to your own. But when you have a character that's only been like a year old, you don't really have that much and you lose it, right? And so now people are, and I bring this up related to this because somebody responded to that, like, yeah, just like Naomi, they canceled Naomi. And then people are like, yeah, but Naomi wasn't good. And it wasn't good because it was rushed, right? And so I think there's things that you can do with these things. But the one thing I will say to people is saying that Black people don't support Black media or Black, you know, you hear this outside of media. Black people need to support Black business. Black people are the people who support Black businesses. Black businesses wouldn't exist in a lot of
That's a
cases
big fact, big
if
fact,
it
big
wasn't
fact.
for Black people. It's white people who need to support. Like white
Big
people
fact.
need to watch
Ooh.
a TV show that has a Black lead or
You was
multiple Black
preaching.
leads and then be like, oh, I'm okay with the show. Now, that happens more now than at any point in history, but it still ain't
Absolutely.
enough. I mean, it's still not enough.
I have a friend who got defensive once because they were showing me their cart of clothes. They just bought, like, whatever, got a check and bought a bunch of new clothes. And it was like from Urban Outfitters or some shit. And I was like, okay. And so I just Googled a list of like sustain, like, no, like LGBTQ plus clothing lines and women owned clothing lines, and sent that, like, maybe check this out and see if you like anything there. Cause it was like, you're just giving this money to a corporation. And they got defensive. And it was more like, you, like, first of all, that is how I try to shop. I just haven't always, like, at this current moment in time, I can't afford it. And so, like, thrifting is better than anything else.
Right.
And sometimes I do have to resort to fast fashion, which is like, I owe the earth a lot right now. But that's not without guilt and without, like, knowing I should be, like, only, like, you know how people get rich and they spend like $300 on a t-shirt and you wouldn't even know it? Or, like, I don't mean t-shirt, I mean like a
Yeah,
blouse,
there's
like,
a thing
because
they call it
t-shirt is
something.
black people.
No, they
Yeah.
call it, no, it's t-shirts too. Like you'll see them wear just like a regular ass shit, and you look at how much it costs, it's like $600. It's a name for that. I forget what it's called.
For black people, it's conspicuous consumption. For white people, it's something else. But yeah, exactly. Like, black, well, my reason why I didn't say that is because black people will spend 300 on a t-shirt. It doesn't have anything to do with their wealth. It has to do with, like, their love for fashion, right? But
Right.
anyway, my point I'm trying to make is that when I make money, that will be where my money will be. It will be in sustainable, like, clothing and, like, women-owned, like, black-owned clothing lines. Like, that's to me, I'll have the time and the capacity to actually, like, pay the tax that they have for being independent businesses.
Right.
And so I just encourage people to think about it like that. Like, what can you do extra, especially people who are not over. The last thing I want to say, and I know I always get on tangents, but I do think this just brings it
It's
up.
all right.
Like, one thing I think that non-Black people really don't recognize is how tired Black people are, like, generationally, of fixing and saving things and maintaining things. And so I say all that to say, like, that's why, like, the small things that you do matter. Because if I hear another person, especially in school, talk about how much they love to work, I don't love to work. And it's not because I'm lazy, and it's not because I don't find the value in work. It's because, like, generationally, nobody in my family is hype about going to work every day. Like, it's a necessity, right? It's not a thing we do to, like, see how cool we can be. And I think, like, if you love to work, cover for me when I don't want to go to work. Like, if you love to go to class, don't tell, sign me in when you go to class. Like, like, that's to be what being an ally is. And so I don't know, some kind of convoluted way I'm saying, like, it none of this will last or stick, as you said, unless white folks, as the other majority, unless, like, other, the majority of, Asian people as the global majority, right? Unless they start to recognize, like, oh, I need to mix it up. And, like, 1 out of 10 purchases can be black owned. Like, when I go to a coffee shop, I can ask, like, does a woman own this? Right? When I go, like, just doing, if you take a half a second to go beyond what's convenient for you, you can make, like, very real sustainable impact. Like, not going to a chain store when you buy furniture and trying to find something, just like Googling it. And if it's beyond a Google, don't do it. But if you can Google it and it's a top front page, that's it. And so I think that's just the encouragement I want to give with, and I guess if we come from that, if we get to that from a list of black canceled TV shows, I think it's worth the conversation.
Yeah, basically what Chanel said is if you're poor, you can be colorblind, and if you're rich, you can be racist. That's what you can do. That's what you said.
If you're
Right?
poor, you're allowed to be colorblind. Wait, say it, tell
Yes.
me again.
If you're poor, you don't
You
have
can
to
be.
search out for black businesses because you
Oh
just get what
yeah,
you
I
can
do.
afford.
You
And if
just
you
don't give to the big, like, the big corporate evil corporation. Try to avoid fueling their oppression of you. But yes.
Right. And if you have disposable income, then you should be racist. I'm joking, clearly,
You should
Chanel.
be
I'm
intent.
clearly
Yeah, no, just
joking.
like, you should be intentionally thinking about race and righting the wrongs that we see happening.
Yes, racist.
Anyway.
Good racist.
That's, see, and if you have, okay, sorry, I'm not gonna get back into it, but if you've watched, listen to us before, we debate over what the word racist means. And that's okay. And that is okay. So we'll talk about a show that is under, that has just an underlying racism to it, but not too much of that came
There's
up this
more to
episode.
underline it.
Yes, but not, but it wasn't too, it didn't upset me too much this episode. So that's good news. We are talking about season 4 of True Detective and on HBO. I was like, I'll tell you this, weirdly, throughout the week, I could not wait for this shit to come on. And then when I started it, I was like, oh, this is such a gloomy show. But like throughout the week, I was just like, what the fuck's gonna happen next? And then we like settled into it being like a regular police show. And I was like, I think part of me wanted it to be like some fantastical shit when we came back this week. But
I think it is. I thought that, okay, I have a lot of stuff for this. So I took a lot of
okay,
notes
word.
and I read a lot of stuff. So it's gonna be interesting to see if you know what I know. Because here's the
Yeah,
thing.
I want.
I wanted to do this show. I told Chanel, I was like, hey, we should get back to being on track and doing the podcast every week. And I think this is a good show to come back with for because I remember it being good a while back when I used to watch it. And I was like, but you know, I didn't even actually consider. I thought that like people would might be back into it because it's been a while since True Detective, but like I had no idea that like people were gonna get into this like they've gotten into this, and so like all the like prestige YouTube channels that just do prestige shows, they're all doing this, and I was like, oh, weird, this is interesting. Like people are actually back into this show, and I appreciate like we were just talking about the transition into the show. I appreciate that. We have all the big platforms in back in on a show when they are basing it in Alaska, when there's a lot of indigenous iconography and actors in the show at the same time. And so I think that's a really cool thing that, hey, this should tell people you can tell a story anywhere with any types of people. And if it's good and intriguing, people will
Absolutely.
watch.
The only issue I have is when I'm looking at theories, I think they're more trying to figure out the symbolism to the story, which I think is amazing, but I would love to know. I want somebody to tell me every time there's something that's indigenous and be like, this what this means, this what this. So I really want to
They did.
learn more
I
about
have
the
a
culture.
video that did that. I'll send it to you
Okay, great.
because
Okay,
I got a
great.
bunch of notes from stuff like that.
That's what, yeah, like I just want to, I would love to, because I think that when you get introduced to something you've never seen before, that's your opportunity to just real quick get an understanding of like what, where does the symbolism start? Because let me tell you something, if you know all that shit about the Roman motherfucking empire, you can take the 20 extra minutes to just figure out
Well,
like
yes.
what are the three lines represent, what's the significance of the e,
Oh,
what
I
was
did
it,
write
what
that
bird was
down.
in front?
I
Yeah,
wrote that down somewhere and I had to find I'll find it by the time we get
all
to
right,
that part.
bet.
Cause I looked that up specifically to figure out what the three lines meant.
Because we is it it's a symbolism. I think it's something tribal or like
It
something
is.
warrior based. Yeah.
So let's get started. So this the story picks up at the crime scene, and they're taking pictures of the frozen bodies. We find out that the bodies are naked, so they're naked out here in the freezing cold, which is already making this really weird. One dude had a ruptured eardrum. We find out that another dude had a spiral on his forehead. That was Anders, the leader of the base. Danvers says, you know, we're keeping this because they're trying to move it, right? Because we see this all the time in cop shows where it's like some small town. Or even in big cities, they try to move it to like federal, like the FBI tries to take over, and police departments are always real protective of their own case. They're like, you're not taking my case. This is, you know, this is my case type of a thing, right? So Danvers is like, yeah, dog, y'all aren't moving this shit from here. We're keeping this. Some idiot shows up with a chainsaw, and Danvers is like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you can't just cut through this fucking shit. Like,
No, they
this is a crime
lose their
scene.
mind. They lose their fucking mind. He, while he does that, somebody's trying to take a selfie with the dead bodies. And Hank, this is when I texted you because Hank goes, "Oh, they're just trying to blow off steam." I texted you. I said, "Hank needs to see jail time." Hank is one of the worst. Hank, any unarmed shootings that have happened in that town, Hank did those shits because
Oh
there's
my
just
God.
something so, there's something such, he's such a bad cop. He's like so in that it's like it has to be it has to be purposeful evilness to me. Because how do you not understand that they can't contaminate the crime scene?
I mean, he's a bad cop. He's an awful. I mean, we know that. He's an awful,
But I
awful
think
cop.
there's, well, I'm gonna tell you my theories about him by the end, because I don't think he's unpurpose, I don't think he's accidentally bad. That's all I'm gonna say.
So after Danvers shuts that down, Rose, we see Rose. Rose is in the background with Navarro at the crime scene, and she comes up to her. And apparently they know each other. And Navarro said, Navarro tells her it's tied to Annie's case. And Rose says, you know, you're screwed then. She's basically like, oh, you about to go back down this rabbit hole. You about to be all back into this shit again. And they look around and then they see some shoes just like placed perfectly around outside the body, and like their clothes like folded up nice and neatly outside the body, around the body. And I'm like, yo, this is some weird shit. This is clearly like somebody doing this shit. Like, this isn't one no accidents. And so then they cut back to Danvers, and one of the guys, some cop named Wilson, like grabs one of the hands to like dust off the snow, and it breaks the arm off, and the fucking guy just starts screaming, and it cuts to the credits. I was like, yo, what the hell is this? How's this nigga still alive? By the way, that is Anders. So the person that's still alive is the head of the research facility. His name is
What?
Anders.
So Clark wasn't the head?
Clark was not the head. Raymond Clark is not the head. We'll get to him in a little bit. But yeah, he was
Okay.
not the head.
Okay, got it.
Anders is, I don't know Anders' last name, but his name, first name is Anders. The guy who wakes up is the head of the
Got you.
facility. And
Well,
so they
okay, and then the
basically,
one who, by the way, the one who had the spiral on his forehead, his name was Lund. Anders is the one who got broke. But yeah, keep going. Because
yes.
that I thought that was like, I was like, were those screams stuck in the ice? Because why is, how is he still alive? And then he was the only one that was alive. And I was like, how the fuck? I guess he was on top, maybe. But can you imagine you're awoken by
Your
your
arm
arm
getting broken
snapping off
off
at
because
the
it's frozen?
bone? Like at the bone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they run the credits, and the next thing we see is at the hospital, and the nurse tells Danvers that he's still alive, but he's in a medically induced coma, and they're about to prep him for surgery. So they're gonna try to save his life.
And she did this thing I really, really hate because the nurse is like, ma'am, I have to go. I'm in the ER. She's like, hold on one second. Hey, like, answered her other call. That's gonna be so mad.
So Danvers gets on a call with this dude, and she ends up showing up at a school. And the teacher's name is Bryce, and he kind of knows what's going on. He's like someone that's kind of familiar with what's going on with like whatever the hell's going on at T'Challa Station. And I'll get to what they found a little bit. So then
This is
they
what I need.
cut
I
to.
need somebody to tell me, what's he teaching? Like, what was on that?
Oh,
What
he
was on
says it.
that?
He says he's a geo,
He's a geologist.
geologist. Yeah. So what was on the board was like the Earth's core.
Right. Okay, that's what the triangle was. Got you.
Yeah.
Well, and this is, and yeah, lo and behold, it's relevant to what Salah was doing.
So they cut to Rose's house, back with Navarro and Rose, and Navarro asks, you know, do you see Travis often? And Rose says, no, he comes when he wants. And Rose says he knew he was dying. He had leukemia, but he didn't want leukemia to take it, so he went out into the ice. Then she starts telling the story about Travis, and this is where this shit really blew my mind. Did you catch what happened here?
That Travis died of leukemia.
No. So in the first season of True Detective, what's his name? Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey's character, Rusty, was from Alaska, and his daddy's name was Travis, and Travis Cole, Rusty Cole. They basically told us that Rose's Travis, the guy she was hallucinating seeing in the ice, was Matthew McConaughey's daddy. So they linked that to season one of True Detective. So they're linking, this is completely linked with season one of True Detective. Did you catch that when you were watching, Chanel?
Absolutely not. Because I don't even remember. And I was going to text you, like, I think they had a spiral in season one. Like, I don't remember
They
anything
did have
else.
a spot.
So,
Well, they go more into detail about
yeah.
that too. I'll talk about that later. But yeah. So Rose's Travis is, because in the season one, he talks about like he had to leave Alaska because some things were going on in Alaska. He had to get out of there, and you know his daddy was sick, and now we found out that like this was his daddy, Rose's Travis, and he basically killed himself or some sort. Not I don't want to say killed himself, but he
He was
basically,
dying of leukemia, and so he just, yeah, he like euthanized himself, basically,
yeah.
deciding that he didn't want to die in that way.
So while that's happening, Rose is just rolling up a blunt, And we find out that
Chilling.
Navarro is the one that found Travis in the ice. So that's how they're connected. That's how Rose and Navarro are connected. Or Angie, her first name's Angie. How Angie and Rose are connected. She asks Rose, like, when did you start seeing dead people? And Rose says, some of the dead come because they miss you. Some come to tell you something. And the other ones want to take you with them. I was like, yo, that's a crazy ass line right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really interesting is she's almost like the shaman right now. Like she's like, I see dead bodies. I know what's happening. I see dead people. I know what's good. And I appreciate that they have that rapport. One thing the show is doing that I think is like not bad, obviously, but they really are starting in the middle and just letting you figure out where the fuck all these relationships are coming from. Like why? Like you just kind of have to accept credibility. And I'm going with it right now, but it's just funny, like they show this lady seeing him, and all of a sudden, I just trust everything she's saying about. Like, if she says it is true. Like, and I was wondering why Navarro was so like pressed to ask her this, like if she was just curious or whatever. And then they reminded us about her sister.
Okay, so back to the high school. Danvers is talking to Bryce, and she basically told Bryce what happened with the scientists. And Bryce was like, listen. A normal research station, they rotate crews in and out. They come, they stay there for a little while, they rotate, they come out. This place was weird as fuck. All of them just stayed there the entire time. They never rotated. They never really left the place. They were just kind of
Never
always
really
there.
talked to outsiders either. Yep.
Yeah, talk to outsiders. He said they were trying to sequence the DNA of a microorganism to cure autoimmune diseases, cancer, all types of stuff. Basically, it's almost like finding
Cure for cancer, like the
immortality.
God particle. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is like one of the things that the cult in season one of True Detective was doing was they thought that they had the key to immortality. And so I'll get to a little bit more of that later, how this relates. They made a comment about, she made a comment about like, I should have fucked the English teacher instead of the biology teacher. So I'm like, was Danvers fucking this nigga? Like, is that one of her
Yes,
jump hooks?
when she, first of all, this girl is getting around, and that's why I think her and Navarro used to mess around. But anyway, what happens is she goes in and he's like, not here, because he's like, not at my job. And I think that he's somebody's ex-wife, I mean ex-husband. I feel like Navarro probably like ruined Navarro has messed up a marriage or two. But I don't know for sure.
Well, we know later, and we'll get to it when she goes to the hockey rink. She know that she fucked up her marriage by fucking her husband. So I don't know if it was him or the dude we find out later. It was one of them. So he explains like what they're really doing because she was like, "I don't understand all that science shit. Tell me in real language." And then someone calls Danvers to come to the station. They cut back to Rose's house, and Navarro telling Rose about her sister. And she talks about like how she hears her dead mother calling her. And Rose said, don't confuse the spirit world with a mental health, which I thought was interesting.
But
And
it's like,
she's
how you know? I just wasn't sure she was so sure her that her mama not, Travis is there, but her mama not. Like, where did that confidence come from?
well, she's in the spirit world. And she asked if Jules wanted to go to the lighthouse. Navarro was like, no, nah, she don't want no parts of that. And then Rose asked if she's seen that thing on his forehead, like the spiral. And Navarro was like, yeah, I seen that shit. And Rose was like, listen, that shit is old, older than Ennis, older than the ice. So clearly she knows more than what she's leading on, but she hasn't really gone into detail about like what she knows. And
I
so
mean, it's a classic like wise spiritual old woman. Like she's gonna speak in riddles the whole time. So that's kind of what's happening, I think. But she's just really backing up. She's just really backing up. Like, yeah, this shit's deep. You're right though. She probably could have said, all right, so in 1873, like you know what I mean? She could have really broke it down for her and we'd be halfway through solving this shit. But of course, Rose is just like looking around all mysterious. Just no, actually, I forget, she's high. That's why. She's
She
only
is
giving us
high,
what she thinks is
yes.
important.
So they cut back to the station, and at this point, I say some dude named Connolly is trying to move her to Anchorage. We find out that Connolly's the captain. Danvers, they get into a little back and forth, and Connolly's like, "You're just doing this to fuck me." And Danvers is like, no, you put me in this place. You told me I need to, I'm here for this reason because weird shit happens in this and I need to figure it out. So I'm gonna figure this shit out. And then Condo's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm still moving this. And then Danvers pulls out this rule book and was like, yeah, but we can't move them bodies because they gotta thaw out at 30 degrees and you can't move that shit before then. So she kind of checkmates him and he's like, how long does this shit take? He's like, she's like 48 hours. So she's basically like, I got 48 hours to like get some information on this shit before they move this shit out of my district, essentially, is what happens there. So then they cut to the hockey rink. Oh, because he goes, well, where are you going to store these bodies? And they cut to a hockey rink. Danvers shows up. Her stepdaughter's playing hockey. She basically just dismisses the fuck out of her. Just like, she's like, oh, did you watch me play? No, of course not. And just like, she looks so disappointed. Like, yeah, what is going on here?
Like, it's just not hard for her to say, like, no, politely. Like, she's so rude to her.
Yeah, she's very rude. We see this lady named Kate walk up and she speaks to Hank, and then Danvers runs up on her and she's like, oh, fuck. And then Kate goes, you wouldn't talk to me unless it was serious. And then Kate says, and then Danvers basically explains to her about the scientists and we need to keep them somewhere cool. And then Kate's like, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this because I love the town. And Danvers was like, yeah, sure. And we find out that she runs the mines. So this lady is like in charge or the CEO or somebody high up with like the mining company there. And so they see this trailer, like tractor trailer, bringing the bodies into the hockey rink. They got, like I said, they got to throw them out at 30 degrees. They're starting to go around the body and look into it a little bit. They find teeth marks, like they was biting themselves, burnt eyeballs, busted ears. Four, five of them are there. Or four at this point, they can see four, but they got more. There's other body parts, so they don't know exactly how many are there. So they're waiting for it to thaw out. So they see four people there out of the six. And they know that there was one that they already took to the hospital. They're all climbed up on top of each other. Like, I don't know what the fuck they was doing. They're still trying to figure out like how did they end up in this predicament. Navarro says Kate, quote unquote, the mind bitch, hates you more than she hates me, which is funny. So because we know that Navarro was chasing down the Annie thing, and that Annie was trying to take down the mines, so of course she probably wouldn't like Navarro, but
Yeah,
she
that's
must
fair
really
enough.
hate Danvers. That's when Danvers tells her, "I dated her ex-husband." Navarro shows her the spiral tattoo was on Annie. She's like, yo, this is the same fucking tattoo, dog. We got the same case. Let's work on this. Danvers was such a fucking asshole to her. She was like, no, I'm not working
Yeah,
with you.
she's. I'm like, I need to know what the fuck happened because, Danvers kept, I was about to say the wrong names. Danvers kept trying to point it on that one case, and Navarro was adamant like there was some other politics going on. And so I am definitely looking forward to getting that insight because she's so rude to her, but she's rude to everybody, so at least it's not just her.
And then Navarro says, all right, then you probably, all right, fuck you then. But, you know, the only person that likes you here is Peter. Why is that? And you're probably going to break his heart too. And so I was like, damn, don't nobody like her. So then they cut to the town restaurant. Navarro goes in to talk to Ryan, who's Annie's brother from the first episode. And he asks him if he shows him a picture of the dude with the spiral tattoo on his face. He's like, have you ever seen this dude? And he's like, no, nah, I don't know who the fuck that is. Excuse me. And then one of the other dudes there looked at it and looked kind of weird, but then was like, no, I don't know who it is. And then I think, was this when they got into a big ass fight? Was that later? I can't remember. I didn't write it down. So this might have been the time where they got to this
Wait,
big
who is
ass fight
they?
in the restaurant. Remember they had that big fight in the restaurant and one of
Yeah,
them stormed off?
whenever she went in there. So there's this other like D storyline we only hear about twice, but I'm sure again, like, so as you just mentioned, Annie K was a part of the protest against the mines because why? Because like mines are terrible for the environment and they're probably poisoning people and not doing all the responsible stuff. However, it also seems like a place where there's only so many ways you can even make money, and the government still controls like things like liquor and all this other stuff. So you only have like so many options for a decent job. So the point is that they're priming us for another conflict between like the indigenous and the white people, because what's happening most likely is the white people are working in the mines and turning a blind eye to what it's doing. And then what it's doing is probably directly affecting the neighborhoods where indigenous people live. And so they're saying that there are some people who are having like water that's straight up black. Because of poison, so they know they're being actively poisoned in the mine, and so two people get into it, like knock down fight in the bar over that.
So then they cut back to the hockey rink with Navarro and Peter, and they're basically doing some detective shit. And so one thing you get with every detective show that's good is you have to show how the detectives in the show operate, like how they think, how they deduct, how they reason things. There's always a scene in every good detective show showing that. And I thought this was actually a really good scene, and I actually have the scene, so I'm gonna play that here.
Yep.
The DNA on the clothes?
Yeah, it's gonna be a while.
What about the prints?
Here you go. It was on one of the shoes, and we didn't come up with any matches.
All right. All right, so we know that a sudden drop in pressure can rupture eardrums, damage soft tissue. We know that hypothermia can cause delirium, rational behavior, and that could explain self-inflicted wounds. I drop everything, run out there in the first place. Why?
Gas leak?
No. No gas at the station. It's all electric.
Then what?
I don't know, kid. Start asking questions.
Okay. Polar bear. The doors don't lock, right? To avoid accidents.
Okay.
It comes in. The men panic. They run out.
And they undress. Why?
Paradoxical undressing. People with severe hypothermia, they feel hot, they undress.
You've been studying. All right, keep asking. Ugh.
Okay. Who drew the sign on Lynn's forehead?
Wrong question.
Okay. When was it drawn?
Was it before they ran out, or was it after?
Well, if it's before, it could be a prank or a game.
It was after?
Then someone was out there on the ice with him. No one stops to draw on their own forehead while they're freezing to death.
That's right. Keep asking.
Okay. What about the clothes? I mean, they don't even match the bodies. There's only five pairs of pants. The three shoes are missing.
Okay.
Maybe they weren't fully dressed when they ran out.
What's the question?
Why weren't they fully dressed?
No, ask again.
How scared do you have to be to run out in the ice without any shoes?
That's an excellent fucking question. How scared do you have to be of something to run out in Alaska in the ice with no fucking shoes on?
So what do you think happened?
So what I was going to say so we watched this show and we're watching it and we're thinking about paranormal stuff and we know about season one of True Detective. And so that's where our mind goes. And so I love how in the universe of the show, of course, these people aren't like, oh, this is ghosts. They're like trying to make rational, like thoughts about like what the fuck could have happened in rational life, right? Like,
but they also at the same time, they could have been like its spirits, because this is clearly a place where the white guy says later, like, we all see people who aren't there. Like, it's, I think, a place that old and that dark, like, there's no way everybody's walking around like, there's no such thing as ghosts, no such thing as spirits, but I hear you.
I think he was saying that in a way of, like, it'd be dark for 60 days, that shit fucks with your mind, you start seeing shit and hearing shit that's not there, like, that type
Maybe.
Of thing.
But, like, if you're a cop, it's him being like, I'm with the shits. But yeah, if you're a cop, you have to think it through, absolutely.
You gotta be like, okay, what's the rational explanation for this? And what they basically said was, polar bear busted in the door, which we have seen a polar bear.
That's one.
A polar bear busted in the door. they busted out of there. It was cold. They didn't want to come back. They kept going to try to track and get somewhere. They ended up freezing themselves to death. They bowed up. They bundled up to get heat together, and they started to get hypothermia. Because hypothermia makes you feel hot, they took their clothes off and started getting delusional, and then they died, right? I think that in the storyline, that's plausible. However, we know that that's not true, particularly by the end of this episode. We know that's not true. They found a video.
They're just trying to figure out, like, again, ipso facto, like, what would have happened that would have made them do all that? Which I do appreciate, because later on we see that that's clearly, like, as ornery as Danvers is, one of her redeeming qualities is that she does train these people, even though they're in the middle of fucking night country.
So we find out, they find a Raymond Clark's phone, and they were able to get into it. And not Raymond Clark, they find somebody else's phone there. Oh, yeah, he takes the phone and he puts it in front of the guy's face to open it. So, because that was smart.
Yeah. And I had said that, so 10 points for Gryffindor.
And then they are, that's what you are. You're in Gryffindor.
That's your house? I'm lying. I'm unfortunately, I'm a Ravenclaw. I don't really want to be Ravenclaw this way.
Yeah, you're Ravenclaw. And so then they look in the video and they see a video of like what we saw in the beginning of the first episode, where this guy's like fucking around making a sandwich. And then you see Raymond in the background just standing, and then he just starts shaking like he's like having a seizure. And then he just like snaps like a scary movie, turns his head, and he goes, "She's awake." And then the phone just like cuts out. And
yeah, that was from episode one, remember?
Yeah, but no, they just watched that on the video.
Yes, exactly.
Danvers and Pete just watched that, and they were like, "What the fuck is that?" And so then they cut to Navarro. She's at her jump off's house, and they basically not talking about shit. Kavik, he basically makes an analogy of like, you like one of these dogs. You act like you tough, but you really ain't that fucking tough. You want somebody to be close to you. And so then they go, basically they have this montage of like Peter and Danvers going through town asking everybody questions about the station and anything they know about it. You know, have they seen Annie at the station? Have anybody seen the spiraling? Those types of things. The vending machine.
And also, as good as she is, the way she's asking the questions is so confusing. She's just like, she asked somebody, she's like, "You ever been there before?" Like, I'm like, "What are you doing, Dan?" Like, she, it's such a casual, I guess that's how she gets deeper, but it was definitely giving Law and Order. Like, you know, when people like refuse to stop working and the police are there. And there's a comedian, I feel like it's John Mulaney or somebody, who was like, "You literally should stop and like pay attention to the police, but you don't." That was the feel on this one.
We ended up talking to the vending machine man that we saw in episode one. And he was like, "Dog, I went in there one time and this nigga was standing there butt ass naked. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with him." He's talking about Raymond Clark. And he was like, "Yeah, and then this time when I came, I thought I saw someone," because remember when we were watching it in the first episode, it was like this that ran across the screen like that, but it's like a scary movie type thing. So, but then he was like, "But you know, it'd be dark here for 60 days. So what the fuck do I know? Like, I'll be seeing shit all the fucking time." And then he said, "But I did notice that Clark had that spiral thing tattooed on his chest when I saw his ass naked." And then Danvers was like, "Oh, all right then." And so then they cut to Navarro in her car, and she's driving, texting on the phone and shit. I'm like, yo, if there's one thing I'm not finna be doing, is texting and driving and goddamn
in the middle of night. The night. When it's... But you know, but they definitely didn't do that on purpose to be like, "Oh my God, she's about to swerve and die." Like, she literally handles that shit in such a way that was actually very boss. It was just hilarious because she's like, "Ooh, almost died," and it keeps going. Like, she recovers way better than I would have.
Yeah, she finds a necklace, and they cut to like this screaming girl wearing this necklace. She throws the necklace out, like Chanel says, she kind of swerves out the way. And then Navarro goes to the mines, where they basically have like dorms. So I guess like if you work in the mine, you like live there too, like in a dorm. And she goes to find homie that was at the bar.
They don't have to worry about, are you gonna make it to work, shit like that.
Yeah, she goes to find homie that was at the bar earlier. that looked like he knew who the dude was, but then didn't say shit. And she was like, "Look, dude, do you want me to bring you in for not paying your tab?"
Yeah, quit
So
fucking playing.
she gets him to talk. He basically says that Raymond bought a trailer from him 7 years from his cousin 7 years ago, but he don't know where that shit is now.
First of all,
So.
that memory, because I would definitely not, I would be like, I feel like I know that nigga, but I cannot place it. He remembers this man so well from 20. Well, okay, I know this is not real, but can you imagine seeing a photo and be like, I saw him in 2017 for a Craigslist transaction? Like, that's not real. I guess
No.
maybe everyone knows everyone there, and that's the closest that we can get to that being realistic.
Unless it's a memorable person,
I
then
guess
that's
he
different.
tried to make it memorable because he overpaid, but maybe. But it's just like a white guy with a curly hair. Like, don't put a gun in my head over that one.
And she's like, "All right, give me the information for your cousin, last whereabouts, all that shit. I know he's dead, but like, I need all that info." And then she was like, "Why you ain't tell me this shit when we was in a restaurant? You could have saved me a trip. Like gas money, gas is high. What you doing?" And he's like, he didn't want to say shit. She's like, "Oh, I know what this is. You don't fuck with me. You knew Annie, and you was okay. You knew I've been investigating that shit, and you was okay with that shit. All right, then." And then she just dipped out. And I was like, "God damn, you just read that nigga for filth." And left. Then they cut to Hank's crib. And he texting his mail order bride. "This woman talking about something up with my mama. Can you send me some more money?"
Dog, I tried to screenshot that, but I forgot about the fact that you can't. Like, it was so, there was like an S missing in something. It was so like a really smart 12-year-old chatting and getting money, or a 40-year-old man. Like, there's no, I don't see no photos in the thread. I don't see them doing, like, it's definitely a catfish.
Let me see if I can find it.
Please, because I would literally, it's, there's gonna be 26 minutes left, like, to go in the episode around when they posted it.
Okay, here it is. So it says, "Counting down time till I get to number two, you." And then Hank writes, "Me too." And then she says, "We will share many happy time." Like that, many happy time. And then Hank said, her
I'm
name's
sorry.
Elena, by the way. And Hank says, "I'm going to spoil you, three hearts." And then she says, "That please me." "That
That's my
please
favorite
me."
part. That's right. That was it.
And then he says, "It's almost the day, three hearts." And then she writes back to him, "So excited, just a little worried about mother." And then Hank writes, he leaves a message saying, "Don't worry, babe. I still got a little cash left. I'll send you some more for your mother's medication." This nigga is getting trolled to death. There's no way this woman's real.
You just always got to explain to me what's the insurance like where you're at. Why does she not have Medicaid? Like, we need to walk Medicare. We need to walk through all of that before I'm sending you money. I'm not saying I won't send somebody money, but it's not going to be a stranger. Oh my God. Can I tell you real quick? This just unlocked a core memory. So there's this dude from high school I like barely talked to, like barely, like he was just like, whatever. Not like there was no romantic anything, but also we weren't really friends. And I remember like, 3 weeks into after graduation, he messaged me like, "Can you Western Union me $50?" And I said, "Can you be blocked from for the rest of your life? Like, why would you ask me?" And that's when I was like, "Oh, like it's just realizing that people see you as a mark that is so just insulting."
Or don't take it personally, or it's the law of averages. If I send this to enough people,
Fair,
someone's a
fair,
mark.
fair.
Somebody's gonna
Fair.
be a mark, and then they'll give me some shit. And then after he's after he's this is the best part. After he sees the he leaves a voice note for that. He's smiling, he's over there giggling. And then after that, she says, "Send more pics of you." I was like, is this thing about to pull his dick out? Is he about to send her a dick pic? But no, he walks into his room and takes a picture of himself. And then that's when he finds out that Peter stole them packages from him last week that we talked about. So last week he didn't know. He just kind of showed up looking creepy, but he actually didn't know. until
But
now.
it's like all week that's just been half open. Okay. I'm not saying it wasn't, but it was just like he clearly saw it, didn't like it, got it. And then what he does next, I was like, wow, I'm so glad I already called for him to be imprisoned. I'm
So
so
then they
glad.
cut to Peter and Danvers, and Peter updates Danvers on, because they was, remember, they was out talking to everybody in the town, and he basically, they update each other about what they find. And this is the interesting part. So let me see if I can play this. Okay.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I realized something. So prior, there's only one son. I don't know why in the first episode I thought this is why I wouldn't be able to recognize that man from 7 years ago. I thought the prior boy was two different people. And
Oh my
I just
God.
realized today that that's the same
Oh my
nigga.
God.
And it's because of how it's in my defense, it's kind of because of how they introduced him and then reintroduced him with the baby. But what I also want to say, unfortunately, is that I got a real strong feeling that that man's gonna die because they always kill the cute, tall, white guy assistant. Always. There's never been a show where the assistant to the detective does not get shot and he's cute. Or in the case of Luther, or she's black. There's never, it's never not happened.
So here's what happened.
Kid talking to himself. Yeah, he was not okay. I don't get why the other guys were putting up with him.
That's exactly the question. All right, well, did you get a hold of the family?
Yep. I spoke to his mom in Dublin. She hasn't seen him for 10 years. Says he's dead to her.
Well, he is dead. Jesus. Okay. What did we learn about the money? So who's paying Salal's bills?
Okay, so the NGO that funds the station, yeah. Right? If you follow the taxes, you can trace it back to a shell company called NC Global Strategies, which in turn belongs to Tuttle United.
Tuttle United, what do they do?
Everything. I mean, glass, tech, video games, shipments, palm oil, cruise lines is...
Okay, thanks, Pete.
So they are really make this is a hunt like this is a brilliant marketing strategy because they want to get more views, streams by making people go back to watch season one of True Detective. But in season one of True Detective, the if you remember, like they had these cults of people that were like having these children, and they were like capturing these children and torturing them and doing all types of crazy shit to them, and they had them on the video. They had like the crowns around their head with the antlers and all that types of shit. The guy. They were doing that at these different private schools. The guy who ran those schools was James Tuttle. I think his name was James Tuttle, or his he was
Okay,
Tuttle
you're
of
blowing my
Tuttle.
mind right now. And you're
He
reminding
was
me that I hated that season because it was so creepy.
Tuttle of Tuttle United, and he was and at in that season he basically was like, yeah, basically I don't know about any of this shit. Please figure this out. Like this is what he was telling Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, but they ended up finding out that he had videos in his crib of them doing all the little weird cultish shit that he was essentially funding for those schools. So the same Tuttle that was funding that cult shit is the same Tuttle that's funding Solar Research Station. So this is all it's all connected, as they say. It's all connected. So I thought that was dope. And so Danvers is like, Pete's like, yo, what did Navarro do to you? And she's like, why? Because you don't want to be like her. And he was like, yeah, I ain't trying to be, I don't want that wrath. And she was, he was like, look, just listen to what I say. Don't fuck up, and you good. And then he's like, well, I gotta go home and give my son a bath. And she's like, you ain't going home tonight. Like we got shit to do, and he's like, "But I promised he I promised I'll give him a bath," and she was like, "You see that little boy tomorrow? Get out of here. Go do what I told you to do. What did I just tell you?"
So I just want to know. Okay, so what do you think about that? I'll just ask that question.
So there's part of me that is like, you know, you got 48 hours on this case before they kick it out of Anchorage. So you got to get as
Right.
much dirt as you can in those 48 hours. And you a cop. So the idea that you're just going to have some 9 to 5 and be back home to put your baby in the tub every single night consistently, there are going to be some nights when some shit goes down and you got to do what you got to do. And then the other part of me is like, this is the second time in a row where he was supposed to do some shit and he had to leave last time. He couldn't even finish his hand job. He had to leave in the middle of a hand job and now he can't go wash his baby. So
Yeah, I
he's a little
mean,
upset.
I agree, but I just want her to know, like, if you want a nigga who work in the mine and gets home at 6, or you have to go fuck him in a dorm room, like, you knew what you're getting into. So part of it is kind of like, babe, like, he's the only deputy in the whole, like, it seemed like there's 5 people who work for the police. You know what I mean? Like, you need, like, and it's nighttime. So I just don't. I guess I'll say this because this happens on Yellow, not Yellow Jackets. Oh my God, on Yellowstone as well. The way that they write Native women sometimes is so annoying. Like the Native wife is so annoying. It's just like she's always complaining about something. She's always just like not understanding things. They do not give her the layers that she requires. The grandma. I fuck with heavy, but that girl, like, it's just like there's no reason for that baby to be 5, 6, 7 years old and she don't understand what time it is. There's no reason for that. Like, and he's not at a point in his career where you shouldn't understand that. And 7 people just got frozen in the ice with their pants folded on a 30 meters away, and you're talking about why can't you be home? Babe, you got to cover, and your grandma's there. You got somebody else to help with the bed. Like, you gotta do what you gotta do, babe. This is normal life.
And
That's what
Denver's stepdaughter is there.
I'm saying. Like, she has a tribe. Sorry, I shouldn't say that word. She has a group. She has people behind her. She has
Yeah.
support. So it's kind of like I understand you had a conversation with him, but it's not like he's sitting around the office waiting for something to pop off. So I actually forgot about that. I definitely forgot about the shit about. It's been 48 hours, so it definitely is a whole thing. Anyway, I don't really like her, and so if they keep making her annoying, I'm gonna be mad because it's like I saw on Instagram, it's the first, and Dan Navarro is the first indigenous lead of a Max show, huge, like probably one of the first shows ever, and or for like in any network probably, and I need them not to write the other indigenous women as like harps. Herpes. So that was the one thing that bothered me. With that said though, I think I missed when you were talking about when the dad came in, because when I tell you there would have been
Oh no, we
a
didn't get there yet. We didn't get there yet.
okay, got you,
So
thank you.
then they cut to Pete's house, and what Chanel was just talking about was Pete called her to basically say, "Look, I gotta do some work. I gotta work overtime. Like, I'll be home when I get home." And Kayla was clearly pissed. And then Danvers just shows up at his crib, and I was like, "If you go in there, you could have let his ass go there. Like, what? Why you being such a hard ass?" And then Kayla was like, "Oh, so you think you can show up at my house when you taking my fucking man?" And Danvers is like, "I'm doing you. Listen, you're young. You gotta understand. I'm doing you a favor to keep the man out the house." And Kayla was like, "Bitch, like, what are you talking about?" Like, and then Danvers walks into the kitchen, and she sees her stepdaughter there, and she's getting like this native tattoo of
She
some sort
geeks.
on her chin, and she's like, "What the fuck is that drool on your?" She's like, "What is
Literally.
that drooling on your
And
face?"
she knows good and damn well what it is.
I
She
could
knows.
help
That's
but
what
to
she did.
laugh.
That's where she goes so wrong for me, because it's like you are a white woman raising a native child, and you keep acting so confused when she does basic like art,
So her
basically.
thing was, she told her, like, "I told you not to put that shit on your face." And she was like, "It's just marker. It's not real yet. Like, it's just fucking marker."
And then the grandma starts cussing her ass out in the
Yeah.
other language, like not does not stop to get breath. And I was living for that. I was like, oh, what I would do. For a damn translation of what the fuck she's saying.
So then Kayla was like, "Look, I think it's time for you to get your ass up on out of here. So get the fuck up on out of here." And so Danvers is, oh, we'll get to it in a second. Then they cut to Navarro. She's shopping with her sister. It's basically her and Jules shopping, and DeFer was like, "Hey, why don't you give the lighthouse another try?" And Jules is like, "Look, I'm not trying to be like Mama. Please don't send me there." And they hug, and she's like, "No." So basically, a repeat of what we saw in episode one. Then they cut to Danvers' house. Danvers' stepdaughter's like about to wipe the tribal sign out, and so Danvers, her whole thing was like, she was basically like, what she was, this she's not right. So I'm about to say, I'm not condoning what she did, but what she was trying to say is like, what type of career or life do you want to have? Because she was trying to say, they judge people like you when you have your tribal marks, for lack of a better term, on you, visible on your face, somewhere visible that you can see. No one's going to hire you. Do you want to just work in a bar your whole life or something like that? Like, you're not going to be able to go to college and get a real job with that stuff on there, because probably all she knows is the racist white people around there who look down upon the natives who have those tattoos or markings on them. And so she was basically like, what are you doing? Like, what kind of life do you want to live? Now, that's a very white woman savior way to look at things. Completely ignoring like any type of history or any type of significance that matters to her and her heritage. But that was Danvers' reasoning behind that. And so it looked like she was going to wipe it off. But then she got like a text message from her girlfriend that was like, meet me at this fucking store. And then she started to walk down the stairs and Danvers was like, yo, help me put up this Christmas tree. And then she was like, I'm in bed. Like,
no, walks back in her room. She says, help me put together this stupid fucking Christmas tree. Like, so aggressive for no reason. But then later we see there's a reason.
And then she sneaks out of the window and goes to meet her girlfriend. And her girlfriend was... I've snuck someone in.
Oh, that's risky.
I've never snuck out.
That is risky, because they can come at any time. You can't even enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I never snuck out. Oh my
God, I'm not about that life. No, I never snuck out either. No, that's a lie. One time I was on punishment and I went to my boyfriend's basketball game and I wasn't supposed to, but I was back before my mom got home from work, so she didn't even know. And then when his adopted mother who's there saw me, she was like, I thought you can't come, because they had talked on the phone. I was like, she gave me a pass, and they didn't talk, so I never got caught. And that's like the one, maybe that and like two other times. That's like three times in an entire life is so good. Like, gold star.
And then I guess that's a gold star. It depends on which way you look at it. More times should be gold star, not less.
Oh, I mean, the thing is, I did the whole thing where I made my mistakes as an adult, and I wasn't out here super active at the age of 14. And sometimes I think that's great, because everybody who is crazy at that age is like mentally drained at this point in their life, like in their 30s. They're like, they can't, they just did too much too soon and they don't know where to go from here. Yes. So I definitely think I peaked at the right time.
So Danvers' stepdaughter's girlfriend was like, oh, you finally did the tat thing. I love it. And I was like, oh, okay, look at this white woman. Look at this white woman also, supporting her.
She kind of looked white like Danvers. Because at first I was like, this girl is not cute. And I was like,
we find out that Danvers' stepdaughter is 17 and her girlfriend's 16. So it wasn't nothing crazy like we thought it might have been last episode.
So what? And the mom is so annoying for that, because why she kept rounding down her child's age to prove a point?
She acted like the girl was 20 years old. With her 16-year-old daughter, right. Like they're basically the same age. Like that's not any difference really to me. And so then they come back to Danvers, and she's unpacking all the Christmas stuff, and she sees that busted ass stuffed animal that reminds her of her son. And you see a flashback of her with her husband, who is a native person, and her son. And they were like dancing and playing. So then they cut back to the rink. Danvers Navarro to do something. Danvers calls Pete. Pete's at the ring. Danvers calls Pete, tells him he has to do some shit. Hank shows up and just walks in and slaps the fuck out of him.
Like, I mean, like, backhands this man like he owes him money from the corner. And he just takes it. And I'm like, you got a gun on you.
So does he.
But that's what I'm saying. We're going to have it's going to be friendly fire up in here because I'm not going to be a whole police, sworn in police officer, a dad, a husband, living on my own, and my daddy still got mind control over me.
And he said, you don't steal. And he says, Danvers does not own you. You are not her family. We are family.
Blood and I swear he was about to say, I own you, but he let that be implied.
So then they cut to the captain's house.
Wait, hold on. Can I tell you my suspicion by Hank in that moment? Yeah,
of course.
I 100% think that he has something to do or knows who killed Annie Kay. And I just came up with this just now. Who's to say the mom is missing? Like, he definitely gives, I killed your mom and made it seem like she ran out on us vibes. So Hank is a criminal. He got something to do with something. I was right about the phone thing. I'm going to be right about this.
I disagree. I think he's too stupid.
I think he's stupid, but he's mean. And so for him, he got in his car and drove across the country and slapped his son instead of calling him on the phone and dealing with it effectively. So, yeah, I think he's dumb, but I think he's also dumb enough to be like hateful towards indigenous people and like hateful towards women and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
I agree with that part. So then they cut to the captain's house. Danvers shows up to the house and she's basically like, he's like, would you come to fuck me? And she's like, yeah. And so I thought they were joking. And then they cut to them having like bad Santa sex. Like on this countertop. It was really like awkward, rough sex.
Oh, I rewinded it. I was like, what's going on here? Because I texted you like, I know they're not fucking. And I was like, oh, they're fucking for real. And then we find out later they're basically common law affairing.
Yeah, for wild like shit. 19 years is what she said.
Wild shit. Like, they're happy anniversary and shit.
And by the way, I like the what's the word I'm looking for? I like the boldness to do a sex scene with a 61-year-old woman who's not clothed.
Haven't I been telling you how much I want to see more old people have sex. Like, they're not gray enough for me.
They're not
I need
gray
hair people. Yeah, I need 60s, 70s. I need old grandma that you think is not working no more and it's still working. But I would settle for this. This was great. She looked good. I was like, okay, Danvers, with your lacy bra. Yeah, I just knew she had on a jockey. I just knew she had a jockey sports bra and some men's.
No, she didn't. Briefs.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I was surprised.
Jodie Foster, 61 years old. So I was like, look at her. And then Danvers says, this is the last time we do this. And then she's like, I know I've been saying this for 19 years. I was like, God damn.
Yeah, that's a long ass time. And he's like, wait, what wife was I on back then?
He asked, what you doing what are you doing with this case? Oh, yes, that's what he did say that. And she was like, no, you was married then. And she was like, nah, we had a bunch of breaks. Like, this was no
yeah, break. It's like, they're like, they can't even remember. So they gotta go like, what was wife number three? Who the fuck? Hilarious.
So then he asks, like, you know, what are you doing with this solid research thing? And she's like, I'm just doing my job. And she's like, well, why are you so hell-bent on putting the lid on this? And he's like, because I don't think you can keep control.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can control what's going to happen. And she's like, you don't think I can control? Fuck you. And just storms out the fucking door.
Well, no, he says something like, if you don't, then I'm going to XYZ. Like, it turns into a threat. And she's like, all right, that's as far as I'm going to let you take this shit. And so, yeah, she storms right on out. And it's so funny. She's like, oh, goddamn asshole. And I'm like, that's hilarious to go from, like, that level of, like, of pleasure to, oh, sorry, we didn't talk. I need to real quick talk about this. The funniest thing about the sex is he's like, he's making those signs that he's about done. And she's like, don't you fucking dare. And she, like, makes him extend himself to then. It was Hilarious. So I do appreciate them showing us, like you said, old people sex for that reason, like that relatable content.
And then he said, then it cut back to the station, and Danvers is looking through Raymond Clark's credit records, and she ends up finding out like about this tattoo place, and she calls him up, and the tattoo lady's like, yeah. Her and the other girl showed up here. They got tattoos together. They was all lovey-dovey and shit. And she sent them a picture of them like hugging with like the tattoo on Annie's back while Carl was like hugging her or some shit. And so then they go to Navarro's house and Danvers is in her fucking house. And she's like, bro, I gotta start putting locks on my fucking doors. But like when you live in the country, that's what you do. My family from the country, don't none of them niggas lock their door.
And
That's just what you
again,
do.
I think it speaks to what you're saying about would you say that in night country, like it's not scary to them because they live it? Because the way that I would be locking my doors immediately in the daylight, not let alone it's full night. And for them, it's like it's just a Tuesday.
Like M. Bison and Super and Street Fighter. To you, that was the worst day of your life. For me, it was a Tuesday. So then Danvers is like asking her questions, and she basically tells him like, yeah, they got the same tat together, and that's Annie right there. And Danvers is like, it looks like your case is my case. And so she's basically saying, like, we're gonna work together, essentially. And then Danvers and then Navarro was like, oh, you wanna work on this case now? There's a bunch of dead white men, but you ain't care when it was like one indigenous woman. And Danvers was like, look, please don't start this shit with me. Like, and then Navarro was like, all right, let's talk about this Peabody case. And then Danvers was like, no, we ain't talking about that shit. We're gonna do this, we're gonna end this case, and then we're gonna be on our own ways. So apparently, like this Peabody case is whatever caused the rift between those
I don't
two.
know if it's Peabody, but yes. It
But that
was,
wasn't the name.
I don't think so, but I think, but exactly what you're saying is correct. It's like, she's like, let's go, let's talk about what the fuck happened then. And she's like, nope. And I'm like, okay, you just deal with it.
And so then they cut to Danvers' daughter. Oh yeah, her name is Leah. I've been saying Danvers' Stark daughter. But her name is Leah, and she was out in the town just walking around. She sees some flashing lights, walks in the rink, and scares Peter. Peter's in there watching the bodies, making sure nobody fucks with that shit. And they say, Leah, like, kind of bases, like, what the fuck happened to your face? And Peter ain't want to talk about that shit. And then they end up
Yeah, but
talking
she knew
about,
it. She knew automatically.
yep. They end up talking about their family and how, you know, weird shit is. And Leah was like, yeah, Liz used to smoke weed. And they start laughing, like, can you imagine Danvers on weed? That's probably wild as shit.
Oh, yeah, because sorry, because there was a flashback earlier when she was going through the Christmas decorations. She found the little stuffed polar bear that she had in that nightmare. And then it flashbacks to her playing with a little kid who, I'm not joking, looked Asian, but I think that he was either white or native. Like he might have been Leah's younger brother, maybe with their dad. I don't know. The point is that clearly that child's no longer here with us. And that was like, oh, if that's why she's sad, I'm gonna understand really quickly. And then they start using it, like this is the second flashback of this episode where they show her dancing with long hair, she's happy. And I'm like, wow, to see that shift is wild because she really is like super cranky these days. And if we come to find out that it's because she's fucking had people die on her and she misses them, that would make sense.
So then they cut to the jump off house and he in the tub. And obviously, Navarro just walked in that bitch too. And he didn't know. He got scared. Kwavik, Kavik. How do you say his name? Kavik?
I think it's Kavik.
Kavik? And Kavik. And then Navarro's like, you trying to fuck? And he's like, no, I'm not. And she was
Yeah,
like,
he's like,
oh,
can
you.
we cuddle?
She was like, he was like, oh, you must have just got done jerking off. What kind of porn was you watching? And she was like, I was watching a movie. She was like, a porn movie? What porn movies? Like, just
He's like,
antagonizing
I want to be held.
this dude. And basically, she's nervous about the case. And they said, he said something to him about a place called the Nook. And she's like, oh, fuck. It's probably at this place called the Nook. And that's where apparently she found the trailer. that Clark bought. And she calls Danvers. Danvers is looking through Raymond's notes at the time. And she's like, look, you got to come check this out. Danvers shows up. They walk into this trailer. This is the creepiest trailer I've ever seen in my life. It's so fucking creepy.
Yeah, it's so nasty.
They see bones on the fucking trailer. And then Danvers is like, I think that's like caribou bones. I think. They got all types of ritualistic shit throughout the house. Writing on the wall, pictures, like stuffed things and dolls and shit. They find Annie's phone. They see this big ass spiral on the ceiling. Just the entire, like the entire ceiling of the trailer is big as shit. And then they walk into the back, they pull the curtain, and they see like a stuffed body, bit like life-size doll on the bed. You hear scrambling in the background. When Peter calls, they say they have a problem. They show back up to the hockey rink, and Peter goes, there's only six bodies. Anders is in the hotel, is at the hospital. These five others are here. One is missing, and it's Raymond Clark. And they're like, he's fucking alive. And then they cut off. So we find out that Raymond Clark's still alive.
Yeah, first of all, that man lost his damn mind. So starting with that, right? Like, he clearly lost his mind because he was, again, they said he was in his room, not coming out. They would hear him crying. He was walking around naked. He was muttering. He might have been the one he was the one who did the shaking thing and said, she's awake, right? So, like, he was possessed or something already, and it had been getting to him. So he does these, like, we see these fanatic writings in his journal. We see them all over the trailer. He had become obsessed with Annie Kay. So now I'm wondering if Annie Kay was, like, a conduit or, like, a sacrifice of some type. But then I'm also thinking about her actual murder. So I'm like, I don't know how we go from that sacrifice to how she ended up. But clearly he's either an agent of what's happening or like I don't see how he could be like the mastermind behind it. Like you said, we got some great information about Tuttle because I was knowing it was going to come up somehow. I did not know it was going to be in season one. So that's good to know. I also will not be, I tried to go back and read the summaries and it was too long. So I was like, I guess I'm going to have to watch YouTube. So we got that, and then we finally got our two, you know, women detectives working together instead of for that. Yeah, we got that. And Danvers is finally, like, understanding, admitting it's her case. And so as much as her dialogue, I mean, her criticism, Navarro's criticism about her only getting excited when it's white men is somewhat valid, the truth is that Danvers was never like completely disregarding her, and that's how we got here, because she kept, like, looking at it. And if she hadn't been open to that, then we wouldn't be where we are. So, you know, Danvers basically has some good grace with me, even though she's an asshole to those kids. And we didn't see Sally, or the drunk lady. We didn't see her, unfortunately. No. Hope she makes a comeback. We didn't see the abusive guy, but we did see his wife, or his ex-wife after the fact. So I'll be interested to see if new characters pop up. And how Rose is consulting throughout this, and then also what happens with her sister. The thing that makes me the saddest about the sister is I do just wish she would go see if the lighthouse is a thing for her, because, like, if it could help her and give her relief, and she won't even have the meeting, then she's, like, holding up her own suffering. So I'm hoping that that doesn't become a problem.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, this is a full, I think it's 6 or 8 episodes this season, so we're gonna get a nice little story arc here. I'm really excited to see what happens next week. I'm wondering how much they're gonna lean into the supernatural, because they're leaning pretty hard these first two episodes, and I'm wondering if that's gonna be like a red herring and they pivot to like some more realistic shit, which is kind of what they did with season one, where they kind of like gave you all these hints, but then they ended up like grounding it a little bit by the end. So I'm interested to see like where they take this.
How did they ground it? Do you remember?
I don't remember the ending of that. I just remember they ended up finding out that like these schools were doing all this ritualistic shit on these kids.
I feel like I remember it wrong, because I remember it as being it didn't get spiritual to the end. But I could definitely be wrong. Like, I remember at the end being like, what the fuck? what is all this ritual shit? But maybe I still think the rituals is spiritual in its own way. It might not be like supernatural, but I think of like the rituals is like something else. But yeah, okay, bet.
So thank you for listening. Remember, you can rate us, review us on iTunes or Spotify, leave us a 5-star review. If you do a read on the air, you can email us what you think is going to happen next week or what you thought about this episode at wewasdragonspod@gmail.com, and we'll read that on the air. You can also leave us a voicemail on the page on our podcast homepage. Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Hey, until then, stay detecting.